So I welcome you one more time to the house of the Lord. There is a word from the Lord today. There's a beautiful passage found in Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5 will be where we will hang on today. And if you don't mind, as you're on Facebook, would you send some emoji praise for our media, our singers, and for our band that consistently, week after week, come prepared to offer unto God the best they can with the gifts and abilities God has given. So send some emoji praise across the screen, thanking God for all of these individuals rendering their sacrifice to the Lord by coming out even in this pandemic season to lead us in our time of worship. So there in Mark chapter 5 will be where we will hang for today. I want you to know that it is very important, it is crucial in this season for us to be aware of where we're hanging out. Be aware of where we are going. Because where we hang out will have a lot to do how we will respond and react to life. Where we hang out has a lot to say about how we spend and use our resources of time, our resources of money, and our resources of affluence. It has a lot to do with where we hang out. And I want to challenge us today that the average person, as average people, as God's children, we have to make sure that we're spending our time at the right place. Because where we spend our time has a lot to do with where we go, what we will say, and how we will act. It begins with where we are. So I have a great challenge for us. If you're taking notes, jot this down. This is not the title of our sermon, but I want to stream from this particular thought. That attention is the currency of achievement. Attention is the currency of achievement. So wherever you put your attention, wherever your attention lies, is going to be what gets you to the place of achievement. So if we have not achieved what we think we should have achieved by now, there's a great chance that we have not placed discipline and given it the proper amount of attention. There is a battle going on. And this battle begins with where our minds are lodged. The battlefield is not in Corona. The battlefield is not in our finances. The battlefield begins and it ends in our mind. And I want to challenge us today that, especially in this season, we got to be very careful that we're spending the right amount of time at the right place. And this place is not a particular spot. It's not a noun, a certain place with a title. This place is your mind. Where is your mind in this season? Where are you hanging out with your thoughts in this season? We've been asking a bunch of questions for the last 6 weeks, so this is the next question for you to think about and to percolate on for the week. Where are you hanging? Where is your mind in this season? I want to challenge us to understand that, and I want to submit to you, rather, that the places where we go and how we respond and react has a lot to do with our thinking process. We live in a day and time where a lot of people have drifted into a place of seclusion. And we have camouflaged this place of seclusion to say, I'm getting away to decompress. I'm getting away to prepare myself for the next hurdle. But the problem is, if we go to that place to decompress or to quote-unquote hashtag prepare for the next hurdle, if we go to that place with a spirit of I'm done or with the spirit of throwing in the towel, there is a chance we may not bounce out of that place. And so if we're not careful, we will use what's going on in the culture as an excuse for us to hang on in that place of where we call depression. I want to challenge us on today that the Lord is calling for us as his children, his sons and his daughters, never to live in this place of depression. And so now we have, we give it the fact that now COVID is going on. We have cancer going on. So we add a lot of excuses to the place to why we are where we are. But I want you to know that if you have experienced any presence of the power of God, you understand what it means to live in the midst of power. So you do not have a reason to use an excuse. Well, I can be depressed for a minute because, you know, COVID is going on. Or I can be depressed. You don't know my childhood, Rev. Or I can be depressed. We got cancer in the family. No. You have been exposed to Jesus Christ. And since you have been exposed to Christ, God has called us to freedom, especially in our minds. And I want to challenge us today. Now, please hear my heart, that I'm not suggesting that depression is not a real deal, because it is. There are some of us that truly have some chemical imbalances, and you have to own that. Now, own that, but own that also with the fact that Christ is powerful even over depression. Now, some of us have been clinically diagnosed. Some of us were diagnosed by our family members. But whoever diagnosed you, there may be some validity to it. But what you have to know, in addition to what the doctors and your family members have said, if you have come in contact with the power of Jesus Christ, you have everything you need to overcome any type of imbalance that may be happening in your bodies. It all begins with, where are you hanging? The writer of Thessalonians says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. I want to challenge us to know that you are in the fight of a lifetime. There are so many things going on around us that we have literally no control over. And so you have to fight for the consciousness and for the power of your subconscious in this season more now than ever before. If you don't, you will find yourselves vulnerable and become a victim to some foul spirits. So I want you to know, y'all, this is no time for play. This is the real deal, because we have people of faith today that are living beneath the calling to follow Jesus, because we're not warring for our conscious minds to remain balanced and to be whole. And I want you to know on today, the power of the Lord is here to deliver and set you free from any sense of anxiety or depression, because God has called for us to live a balanced life on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But in order to walk in that, you have to answer some questions. Who are you hanging with? If you're hanging with some donut heads, in a minute you're going to act like a donut head. If you're hanging with somebody that's living beneath their power in their relationship with Christ, you're going to start hanging beneath that power. Who are you hanging with? If you're going on sites to see pornography, you got to get away from that, because that's some thought that's putting some more pictures in your head. And now you're going to hold your wife accountable to some pictures you saw in your head. You got to watch what you're putting in your mind. That's where the battle is happening right now, everybody. For all those at all of our high school and college graduates and postgraduate 2020, so many things going on, not according to the dreams you had, but it's only as bad as you make it. It's only as sad as you make it. You have the power in your mind to live balanced even in this COVID season. All right. We're going there anyway. In our text today, we come across a man, a nameless man. A nameless man, but he has some live attributes that are not walking with who we know a person should walk if they've come in contact with Jesus Christ. So journey with me for a minute. We're here in Mark chapter 5. We're going to read verses 2 through 4. It says this: then when Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an impure spirit came from the tombs to meet him. This man lived in the tombs, and no one could bind him anymore, not even with a chain. For he had often been chained hand and foot, but he tore the chains apart and broke the irons on his feet. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Write this down, if you will. Where you hang speaks to where you go. Where you hang speaks to where you go. Where your mind is, your mental state, speaks to where you go. The text does not tell us how this man got to this particular place and state, this mental state. The text doesn't give it to us. There aren't any biblical resources that tell us about this man, giving us some specifics about him. But we do know that everybody that finds himself in a state of depression, they just don't go there from 1 to 100. There is a sequence, a system of events that happens that helps someone, that aids someone to get to this place of depression or anxiety. So we don't know what happened. I don't know the things that have played out in your life. Like, you don't know the things that have played out in my life. But I just didn't go from where I was to where I am, nor did you. There have been some things at work that finally got us to the place where we have decided either to throw the towel in or to keep our faith firmly in God. Where you hang, where you let your mind go, will determine where your feet will go. So here we have this man. The text is really, really clear that this man was living in a cemetery. Now listen, no one in their right mind makes the choice to live in a graveyard, right? This is how we know that something is not right. When we live in a place of seclusion, we know that something is not adding up to where it needs to be. Now, we recognize that the text says, we'll get to that about the graveyard, but the text says that he was filled with an impure spirit. Now, make no mistake about it. The devil, according to John 10 and 10, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. The devil has never waned off of his task. His task is to derail every believer from knowing who they are in God. The Imago Dei says that we were made in his image. The devil does not want you to know your identity in God. And so if we allow ourselves, we will become victim to foul spirits. Yep. Therefore, we've got to fight, everybody. We've got to fight. We've got to war against these spirits that will try to come in and make us deny who we are in God. Instead of laying down instead of giving in and giving up to these spirits, we've got to remain strong, because where we hang out in our mind has a lot to do with what we do with our feet, where we go. And this man, being filled with this foul spirit, only found peace and seclusion by living in a graveyard. Now, a graveyard is defined as a place of rest. A place of rest. A graveyard, cemetery, dormitory, all those words come from the same Latin word, which a place of rest. All right? And so we have a man that has decided, because of a foul spirit, to find rest in a place, in the wrong place. So here's the challenge for us. Some of us we want peace and we want rest, but we are resting in the wrong place. All right? So if you are resting in somebody else's bed, clap back at me. Go online and send me emoji praise and say, that's the wrong place to rest. Wrong place. If you are resting using up somebody else's money that's not your husband's or your wife's money, you're resting in the wrong place. Some of us are going after what we need. Everybody needs rest, but you've got to get rest in the right place. And if you keep going after rest in the wrong place, you're going to continue to lose the battle that's happening in your mind, because living in the graveyard will start playing tricks on you. Look at the text. I'm not making up nothing. He says, well, he lived in the tombs. And he lived in the tombs, and nobody was strong enough to subdue him. They put chains on him, and they couldn't slow him down. They put chains on his feet, and he would break those off. I want to challenge us today that you've got to make sure that your mind is in the right place, because where your mind is, it's going to tell your feet where to go. And I know we are living in a season now where we're disappointed about some stuff. I'm not denying the disappointment. Be disappointed, but don't be so disappointed that you lose your spiritual scruples and you just sort of giving in to all kind of whims and thoughts and ideas. Let the power of the Holy Ghost control your thoughts so that your steps will still be in tow with God. All right, we're going to move on. So look at verse number 6. Verse 6 says this: when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and fell on his knees in front of him. He shouted at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In Jesus' name, in God's name, don't torture me. Jesus had said to him, come out of this man, you impure spirit. Then Jesus asked him, what is your name? My name is Legion, he replied, for we are many. And he begged Jesus again and again not to send them out of the area. Write this down if you will. Where you hang, your mental state, speaks to where you will find, where Jesus will find you. Where you hang speaks to where Jesus will find you. Listen, it is impossible to escape the presence and the power of God. It's impossible to do that. And I know some of us in our older age, we're very clever. And we figure out, if I go this way, if I go to Louisville, take the train to Grapevine, take a taxi to McKinney, take an Uber to Cedar Hill, I can escape. You can't escape God's presence. Matter of fact, you can't even escape the cameras now, so you might as well give that one up too. So depending on where you hang, where your mind is, I want you to know that God has the power to meet you just right there. Some of us have grown up in some ideologies and religions where we had to go to a certain place to meet God. No, you don't. Since God is everywhere and everything belongs to him, wherever we go, he is there and it's his. And so God has the power, hear me, to get your attention right where you are. If you don't believe me, we're going to read the text one more time. It says here that this man saw Jesus. Now, the graveyard of the ancient days, the graveyards, the cemeteries, were outside the city streets because they had enough sense that they did not want dead people living in the city. All right? So when Jesus gets out of the boat and the man sees him, is because the graveyard was near the water outside the city. And so this man sees Jesus. This man runs to Jesus. He runs to him and he says, leave me alone. Now listen, here's the problem. This is not just a problem for this man, but it's a problem for us. That many of us, we've come in contact with the power. And instead of us wanting what the power has for us, in our silliness, we tell the power to leave me alone. Can you imagine that? That the delivering power of God is right there in the midst, even in the midst of us, and we would rather side with our feelings and our emotions versus giving into the power that is able to change our present circumstances. Isn't that interesting? Now listen, don't you go looking at the person at the table. Don't look at your wife, don't look at your husband, because we act just like this man. We have come in contact with power, but just because we feel some kind of way sometimes based on how our wives or husbands said something to us, we give into our feelings and we don't look at them. We shrug our shoulders at them. We turn our nose up at them. Who do you think you are? We have come in contact with power, but yet still today in 2020, we choose to turn away from power. Look at the text. We're not going to make him nothing. It says this. He ran and fell at his feet, at his knees, and shout out to the top of his voice, what do you want from me, Jesus? Son of the Most High God. Listen, y'all, there's some issues going on here, because we have the man, the natural man that's living in him, and we have a spirit, that's some spirits that's in him also. So we have a duplicity of identities working at the same time. So we have some issues going on. And this man is not the only one with some issues. Don't look around. Don't give yourself away. But you got some issues too. There are moments when you feel holy and sanctified and all that kind of thing. There are some moments you just give into. My grandmama said, you're flush. Well, your flush has won every battle. We got some issues just like this crazy man has some issues. So you've got to stop turning your nose up at saints that are struggling. Because it's real. But I want you to know that in the midst of the presence of Christ, there is deliverance. Where are you hanging? Speaks to where Jesus will meet you. I want you to know you can't hide from him. Jesus wants to meet you right where you are. These tombs in these ancient days were hewn. They were carved out of rocks. So this man comes out of his his temporary rocky location to encounter Jesus. Jesus met him where he was. And I want to challenge you one more time to know that Christ is willing to meet you right where you are. If you're in the hospital, if you're in the bedroom, if you're driving in the car, right there where you are, if you avail yourselves to the present power of God, he will come in and he will change your mind today. Keep reading the text with me. Verse number 5, we were at 5 and 6, let's read 7. He shouted out to the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High? In God's name, don't torture me." Well, Jesus said to him, "Come out of this man, you impure spirit." So not only where you hang will have a lot to do with where Jesus would meet you, but it has a lot to do too with how what God speaks to you to do. Look at this. Night and day in the tombs, in the hills, he would cry out and cut himself. Now listen, depending on where your mind is, it's going to allow everybody to know why you do what you do. There's a purpose behind all of our responses. There's a whole rationale of thinking behind all of our reactions. So this man, because he was filled with an impure spirit, his response and his reaction was to cry out and to cut himself. Now listen, how do you know that you're not functioning in your right mind? It's because you are willing to attract a lot of unnecessary attention for no reason. So here, this man, remember, there are two systems going on. He has his regular mind. He has a mind where he's filled with some spirits too. So somebody is trying to win. And when you have multiple spirits trying to rule your life, somebody is trying to win. Somebody is trying to get some attention. So we don't know which voice it was crying out. Because we see the man crying out at talking to Jesus, but then what he was saying was not right in giving honor to God. There are many people that claim the form of godliness. Many people that will go to 15 different church services today. But they go to all these church services, but the church of God, God Jesus Christ, is not in them. Houston, we have a problem. There are many people crying out, "Jesus, what do you want from me?" There are many people going to church Sunday after Sunday crying out, looking like they're worshiping God, but they don't want to have anything to do with the power of God. There are many crazy people in our churches today. I'm not talking about mentally crazy. I'm talking about spiritually insane. That they want the power of God, but they deny that same power that they're asking for. The text says he ran and fell on his knees in front of him, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want from me, Jesus, Son of the Most High?" Listen, this is how we know that these impure spirits are not crazy. These impure spirits are intelligent. Because the spirit knew who Jesus was. Listen, everybody, we spend time with a lot of folks in conversations. They want to deny who God is, but everybody knows who God is. They say, "Well, Mac, how do you know?" Because as soon as something happens, they say, "Oh, my God." Yeah, everybody know when the airplane is shaking a whole lot more than it should be, everybody says, "My God, what's happening?" Right? We know who God is, and we call on God when we are in our moments of distress. But the challenge is for us to know that if we're having a war in our minds, it's this time that we must call on our God. He goes out there to talk to Jesus. This is what the devil does. The devil will push us to try to control the narrative. Do y'all see what happens? That Jesus gets out of the boat. Jesus didn't say anything to this man. But this man came to Jesus. I believe in the quest to control the narrative of the conversation. Because there's an issue going on. You have this man that wants to be free, but then you have this legion of spirits that wants to control. So there has to be a piece of us that wants deliverance, although there may be a piece of us that's struggling because we don't really want to be free. The spirits don't want to let us go. But here this man is, the spirit's trying to control the conversation, and Jesus speaks to this. And verse number 8 says, "For Jesus said to him, 'Come out of this man, you impure spirit.'" What a shame to come in contact with the changing power of God. And we choose to remain in this emotional state. I want you to know that you do not have to reside. You do not have to live there. Christ has come to offer us deliverance. And I know when you start talking about deliverance, people get all kind of twisted and turned, thinking that it's hocus pocus and all this kind of stuff. It's not. Jesus come to save and deliver us. Just because we're saved, we're not isolated from the things that happen in the world. We still have to go through stuff like everybody else. We still have to balance our childhood memories like everybody else does. But no matter how bad or off they were, Christ has delivered from that because we're now walking in our new identity. All right. So don't give in to it. Some of us have made a lifestyle of going through the motions, and I'm challenging us to get out of that. You have come in contact with the authentic power of God. And the challenge is for us to accept what Christ has done and walk fully in that authority. Look at verses number 11. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the nearby hillside. The demons begged Jesus, "Send us among the pigs. Allow us to go into them." He gave them permission, and the impure spirits came out and went into the pigs. The herd, about 2,000 in number, rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. Those tending the pigs ran off and reported this to the town of the countryside, and the countryside and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legion of demons sitting there, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Verse 16, those who had seen it told the people what had happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs as well. Then the people began to plead with Jesus to leave the region. Listen, when you, where you hang, write this down if you will, your state of mind speaks to where your issues end. I want you to know this morning that I am reminding you that your issues do not control you. Your issues no longer have the power. They're not strong enough to map out the next steps of your life. Whatever has happened in the past, it's in the past. And I want to challenge us to walk completely in the freedom and the deliverance that we have through Jesus Christ. Because where our mind is right now speaks to the right nowness of our issues coming to an end. Now listen, I got the challenges because you have to want it to come to an end. Because Christ is not going to do anything else. He's already risen from the dead. So, you know, what else we want from him? I mean, he's already conquered death and the grave and all that. So what else we want from him? So it's no longer in the hands of Christ. It's now in our hands. It's now in our minds and our will. Of are we willing to accept what Christ has done for us? And I believe today is the place, is the moment in time where this spirit of depression will end and you will begin to walk completely in your victory on today. Now listen, again, I said earlier, I'm not challenging you saying that you don't have some imbalances. And if you have been prescribed to take some medicine, take your medicine. Don't ever walk away thinking, and Max said, I don't need medicine. No. Your husband needs you to take it now. Your children need you to take it. Take your medicine. But don't take your medicine as if the medicine is the answer. Jesus is the internal answer for our outward actions. You understand what I'm saying? Pray over that pill. Put it in your mouth on a full stomach. But don't lean on that pill to be the balancing act. Only Christ is the balancing act. Where you hang speaks to where your issue within. I want to challenge us today to know that Christ wants you to understand that the devil doesn't really care anything about you. Please know this. The devil wants you to remain in a state of confusion about your identity. And the longer the devil can keep you confused about your identity, He's winning this battle. He doesn't care anything about you. You say, Mac, how do you know the devil don't care about me? Well, let's just use the example of this passage. If the devil was so concerned, if these impure spirits were so concerned about this man, why would they choose to be in some pigs versus fighting to stay in the mind of this man? The devil doesn't care. The devil wants to drain the life out of you. The devil wants to make you do all kinds of crazy things and get caught up in some moments and somebody happen to catch you on camera and then you're going to start crying and want somebody to help you out. No, don't wait till the camera's catching before you start crying out. Cry out now for some help, for some deliverance from all this stuff. Look at this, y'all. I'm not making this up. He said, listen, these spirits are talking to you. These spirits said, listen, can you at least put us in these pigs? We don't want to just be out here inside of nothing. Can you at least put us in these pigs? Y'all, listen, I'm not going to say that pigs have more value than humanity. But for the devil does not care. The devil is looking for some type of soul, some type of body to inhabit because that's the only way it can do what it desires to do is to be in something. And that's all he wants to do. He wants to be in you and to make you think that you're crazy. Make you think that nobody else understands and you got to cry out loud. You got to cut yourself to get attention. You don't have to get attention from people. You have the attention. Jesus says that God knows the amount of hairs that are on your head. And I believe he knows what's on your toupee and your wig too. God knows it all. He says that you are the apple of his eye. So you don't have to go out there and do some crazy stuff just to get the attention of people. You have the attention of God. He is hearing and answering your prayer. David said, I prayed. And it was as if God was leaning over the balcony of heaven. He inclined and heard my cry. Brought me also up out of a horrible pit, set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. So God saved David and delivered him, cleaned him off, and sent him in the right direction. That same power is available for us today. But you have to want it, everybody. You have to want to not walk in this place of depression. You have to want to walk and live in this place of total mental freedom. And it only comes through Jesus Christ. And Christ is willing to meet you right where you are to put an end to this issue. Look at the text. We're not going to make up nothing. It says this. After the people went and they reported to everybody what Jesus did to the pigs. Now, y'all, hold on. Hold on. Wait a minute. So the news, the media went and reported on what Jesus did to the pigs, not what he had done for the man. Wait a minute. Is this 2020? They went and reported on what happened to the animals versus what happened to the man. Y'all, we still live in a culture that's more concerned about productivity, that's more concerned about capital, that's more concerned about money and resources than we are in a culture that's concerned about humanity. We live in a very live culture today that's concerned about getting the economy started again versus having a culture that's concerned about the lives of people. You do realize that if people are dead, you won't have an economy anyway.
All right. We in there, so we might as well wild our feet in there. We already in there. Might as well shake our hips. We already in there. We in it, so we might as well stay in there.
That we have a culture that's more concerned about people being wise and for the unsaved even being practical versus the lives of humanity. Yet we spend money in our government doing a whole lot of crazy stuff.
All right.
They were more concerned about the pigs, the loss of revenue for pigs. They were more concerned about these 2,000 pigs that ran over the cliff versus one man that now is going to change the environment of his family and of the 10 cities around. He goes to Decapolis to now be an evangelist. They were more concerned about pigs than they were lives being saved. Listen, where's your mind today? You got to be careful, because for some of us as Christians, our minds are acting like the culture. We're more concerned about everybody getting back out there into the workforce. And listen, y'all, hear my heart. Hear the words behind my heart. I'm not saying that we ought to get into our dark corners and live in fear. That's not what I'm saying. But what I am saying is that we have to have on our minds humanity more than just some capital in our pockets. Christians. The world does what the world does, but Christians, us believers, we've got to be not practical but wise about how we get back infiltrated into the culture and what the culture is demanding of us. And I'm not saying if you can go to work, go to work. But if you can't go to work, we don't live in fear. Jesus has always been and will be our provision. And I'm going to say it one more time. We cannot be more concerned about money than we are humanity. Look at what happened in the text. They went back and told everybody about what happened to the pigs. Get this. Look at verse number 15. When they came to Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed by the legions of demons. Get this. Look at what they saw the man doing. They saw him running naked, crazy. Y'all see that? He was running stark naked, crazy, pointing at everybody, I'm going to get you, I'm going to get you. Y'all see that? Oh, that's not what it said. Yeah, let me wipe my glasses off. Yeah, I'm sweating. Let me clean my. Okay, here it is. When they saw the man, they saw Jesus, they saw the man who had been possessed with legions of demons running around naked with his hair looking wild. No, that ain't what it said. No, look at what it said. Look what they saw. They saw him sitting there, dressed in his right mind. Now, look at the people's response. The people's response was, they were like, oh, my God, look at what God has done. No. Look what people did. The text says, they were afraid. Now, hold on. When you look at the beginning of this chapter, it never stated the people were afraid of this man. They knew that he was wild. He lived outside the city. Every time they walked by the cemetery, yeah, they would have to deal with him, but he was like a laughing stock of the town. Everybody knew where he was. He was there. And it didn't say anything about them being afraid of him in his wild state. But here he is. He has now come in contact with Jesus the Christ. He's sitting there. He's dressed. He's in his right mind. And the people are afraid of him. Listen, this is why the world tries to shut you up. Because the world wants you to, they want to be able to say, see, y'all, look at them. They talk crazy. They look crazy. Don't pay them any attention. That's what they want to do. They want to find validity in choosing animals over humanity. So any person, any human being that looks outside the part, that's where they put the camera. See, I told y'all, he should have been going away. If he was at work, this wouldn't have happened. You know, we try to diminish what humanity does so we can raise up the crazy thoughts of people, right? So here this man is, he's sitting there. Now, sitting there says to us that he was poised to learn. He was sitting there. All the teachers around, you know that you feel like a student is hearing you better when they're sitting down and they're focused. He was sitting there. Yeah, think about this. At one time, he was running around crazy. But now, after coming into contact with Christ, he's sitting there poised to listen to, here it is, authority. You see, when someone is really sitting to hear, they don't sit to hear everybody. That's one of the issues we have. We have a lot of voices out there doing a whole lot of talking. And everybody sounds like they know what they're talking about. They seem like they got a pulse on environment. They have a pulse on the politics. They don't know what they're talking about. Especially with this pandemic season. They don't know they're talking about who's going to win the presidency. We don't know. As much as you want one person to win, there are other people voting for the other person. So you don't know what's going to happen. But you got to, I just think, because in 18, no, you don't know. But this man is sitting there to listen to authority. Not only is he sitting, look at this, I'm not making up the text, says he was also dressed. So being dressed says that he was ready to move. So he was sitting there and he was dressed, meaning that he was listening to authority. Whatever authority wanted him to do, he was ready to respond to authority. I got to stop and ask the question, how many of us, now that we have experienced the presence and power of God, how many of us are sitting and dressed, ready to respond to God? Jesus says to all of his disciples, he said, follow me. Let everything else go and follow me. Some of us are still struggling with the fellowship of Christ because we want to follow him but yet drag all the old stuff with us. Some of these people and things and thoughts we got to let go if we're going to really follow Jesus. He was sitting there dressed, and the text says he was in, as y'all look at it, he was in his what? His right mind. So this says he had given the capacity of his thoughts over to Jesus Christ. He was no longer living in depression of the past or anxiety of the future. He had given all that to Jesus. Turn the diamond. Christ had taken all that away. Isn't there glory there? That if you're willing to give it up, Christ is willing to take it. If you're willing to cast your cares on God, God is willing to do what you can't do with those issues that's weighing you down. I'm dumb. Let me give you one more thing. In verses number 18, it says this. As Jesus was getting into the boat, the man who had been demon-possessed begged him to go with him. Jesus said to him, Jesus did not let him go, but said, go home to your own people and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. So the man went away and began to tell in Decapolis how much Jesus had done for him, and all the people were amazed. All the people were amazed. So finally, where you hang, your mental state speaks to where new life begins. Where you hang, your mental state speaks to where new life begins. Now, we just mentioned the fact that God will meet us where we are. It's in that space and place where your new life now has the proclivity and the ability to start over. When you give it, God will take it. New life begins. It's simple, everybody. It's simple. We, especially American Christians, we make this thing real difficult. We make it real difficult. You know, we gotta fall out. We gotta do this. We gotta go to school to make sure we really save. This is not what happens in this man's life. Now, you know, I'm a real proponent for school. We have a call, a calling to preach is a calling to preparation, a calling to ministry is a calling for maturation. There's a piece of that that's alive for sure, but you do not have to go to school to preach. All right, and a hush went over the crowd. Look at this. We have right here a real homemade, spirit-filled evangelist. And all he did was spend time with Jesus. He lived in the cemetery. Now they say the seminary is cemetery. Well, I'm not gonna talk about that because I'm in seminary. But he didn't go to seminary. He didn't go to Bible college. What he did do was sit with Jesus. And he had a heart to follow Christ. And Christ told him, don't go with me, my friend. Go home. Tell your own people. Now this is what Christ told him to tell him. I'm gonna be done. He says this: tell them how much the Lord has done for you, and then tell them how God has had mercy on you. Now get this. Now listen, we have a lot of deep thinkers out there. We want to go back and be able to explain hermetology, pneumatology, and all this kind of stuff. Whatever dispensation, and it's all great conversation. It's great conversation. But the word of your testimony about who God is, what God has done for you, is what the people need to hear. There are people that will respond to your testimony quicker than you quoting a verse that you don't even know how to say properly. So Jesus didn't tell him to go back and quote Isaiah. Now y'all hear my heart? Isaiah has a prophetic word for the people. But that's not what Jesus told the man. And Jesus told the man, listen, tell them how much the Lord has done for you. Tell them about the mercies you have experienced from the Lord. And we find it so difficult to evangelize. Well, Rev, I don't know what to say. Tell them about how good God has been. Tell them about the way that you know that God has made in your life. You don't have to go back and research what Bonhoeffer said. No, tell them what God has done for you. This is what Jesus says to him. He had a heart to follow Christ and follow, said, follow me, but follow me by going home. And tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Now get this. Listen what the man did. The man went on his way. He went to the capital. That's a whole different conversation. Out of the 10 major regions, 10 major cities in that area, he goes to Decapolis, one of the major cities. And he had something to talk about. Listen, I want you to understand that what God has done for you is not something that should be shoved under a bushel. There are some people that are wired to hear your voice. Hear me well. There are some people that have a pre-wiring to hear what you have to say. And the moment you decide to be quiet, you are allowing them to miss the opportunity to hear what God is able to do in their lives because he did it in your life. He has sent you back to your own people, the same people that knew you in your crazy state of mind. The same folks that remembered you acting wild and otherwise, it's those same people that need to hear and see what God has done for you. They need to know that it was the powerful hand of God, his mercy, that brought you out of that pit. They need to hear that from you. They don't need to hear from me. There are some people that never hear anything I have to say. I don't look the part. But there are some folks that need to hear what God has done from your mouth because they can see what God has done by hearing, by watching you come up. So get this, and I'm done this time for sure. The people were amazed. Look at the text, and I'm done. It says this, all the people were amazed. They were astonished. They were dumbfounded. They were taken back. Because this man that was once crazy and wild is now walking and acting sane. So they were like, whoa, what has happened? They were speechless. They were completely amazed of how this man was now acting. They were speechless. Now get this. It's okay. It's okay for the world to respond speechlessly because they don't have the spiritual vernacular to offer appreciation for what's happening now. They don't know. They may know the words we use, but they don't have the same power in using the words. You know, so they know that we say thank you, Jesus, but it doesn't mean the same to them because they don't know who Jesus is. They just saying what they've heard us say. You know, my kids, they do some things that I do. They don't know why I do it, but that's all they've seen. So that's what they do. Right. So there are people that have been around you. They don't know why you raise your hands and why you wave them. They don't understand. But they just do it because they've seen you do it. But here's the difference, everybody. Here's the difference. That the people may have been speechless, but the man still has something to say. Because he was still going on his way to Decapolis telling people about the mercies and the grace of God. So we do not have the right to walk around now as if we don't have something to talk about. We do not have the right to be speechless in this season. And I understand COVID is going on. I understand cancer is still happening. I understand we have our own childhood issues. But we do not have the right to now be in silence about what we have experienced by the powerful and mighty hand of God. But this is a time for the saints as we consider the power of God's hands. As we consider the provision of who God is, as we consider the comfort of who God is, as we consider the protection of who God is, as we consider all who God is, just like this man, God is asking for us to do two things. Go home and tell everybody about how good God is. This is not the time for the church to be silent. not the time for the church to be speechless, but this is the time for the people of God to rise up and to declare the praise of him who brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. This is the time for us to raise our voices in adoration to God. Why? Because God not only healed and saved this man, but God healed and saved us. I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shores, very deeply stained within, seeking to rise no more. But one day I heard the voice, the master of the sea, I heard his despairing cry, and from the waters, you know what happened, he lifted me. Now safe am I. This is the testimony of the church, that God has saved us. Not only has he saved us, but he has also delivered us. And so now it is our joy, it is our task to walk in our deliverance. Is there anybody here this morning that you're willing to give God the total captivity of your mind? That you're not going to allow your mind to lose the battle anymore. Your mind now belongs to God. You're going to give him all the thoughts, give him all the hurt, give him all the pain, and cast it all on him, because he has the power to not only save, but the power to deliver. If you give it to him, he will take it completely away. But you have to want to give it to God today. I don't know when COVID will be over. We don't know when cancer is going to stop being an issue. We don't know when our childhood issues will stop perplexing our minds. But what we do know is that greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And I charge and challenge you to live by faith, not according to what you do not have control of, but you have control of your mind today. You have control of your thoughts today. So I challenge you, let's walk this thing out together. That we're going to hang out in the right place today, giving God the authority of our thoughts, giving him the power over our thoughts.